Galatians chapter 6, as we're closing the last week, our fifth week in this series, The Message and the Mission. And so for the last 5 weeks, including this week, we've been talking about the message God has given us and the mission which God calls us to. Now, the first week we looked at the Word of God, His message, as real. It was completely trustworthy. And we talked about how we know, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that it is God's Word for us. And then the second week, when we continued to look at the message, we said the Word of God is relevant. It's not only real and true, but it is relevant and applies. It tells us to do something today. It's not just a book we read, but it applies to our daily lives. And so what is the message telling us to do? The first week, as we looked at the mission of our church, as we find in God's Word, is to reach up in worship. And last week, we talked about reaching out to serve others and share our faith. And this week, we are looking at reach in, that we are called to reach in. The Atlanta Falcons and the New England Patriots are going to play today in Super Bowl 51. The Dolphins, sadly, will not be there for I don't know how many years in a row. However, I am excited that we can see and witness two teams who have been prepping for a long time to play in Super Bowl 51. We're going to watch 60 minutes of game action. Only 60 minutes of football time tonight. And as we watch, we're going to see two teams that have spent all season long working towards this game. The Atlanta Falcons have put hours of practice, hours of film study, and hours of workout to prepare for this moment. The New England Patriots have put hours into spying and hours into illegal practices and hours into deflating footballs for this very moment. The point is, we'll watch two teams tonight play for just 1 hour of actual game time. Maybe 3.5, 4 hours total, but only 60 minutes of actual football. It will be the most watched television event in America. Forget the commercials, forget the halftime show. The game itself is what drives it all. And in those 60 minutes, we won't just see one football game. We will see two teams' seasons coming to a close. This will be the pinnacle of months of preparation for these two teams. Our lives can be summed up very similarly. When our Super Bowl moment comes, when the moment in our lives comes, it's monumental, that feels like the weight is on our shoulders. The pinnacle of our lives really is all about what has come behind the scenes. And so reach in is a part of the mission where we are building our life. It's the day-to-day work we're putting in, the investment that determines the decisions that we make. And so we invest in ourselves, we invest in, more importantly, other people within the church and others. And so let's look at Galatians 6:10 together to see how God is calling us to reach in. Galatians 6:10 says this, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, we must work for the good of all, especially those who belong to the household of faith." We work for the good. Reaching inward is an investment in our faith. This morning, let's look at three ways that God has called us to reach in. Three ways that we can reach inwardly in our faith. The first is this. We are called to serve the church. Serving the church. We already talked about serving others last week when we looked at reach out. And 1 Peter 4:10 tells us that we are to be using our gifts to serve others. It says, "Based on the gift each one has received, use it to serve others as good managers of the varied grace of God." We are to reach out and serve other people. Each one of us has a gift. And as we get to this point of our mission, what God is calling us to do, we are to use that gift to serve others. We're to know what we're gifted at, know what we're passionate about, and serve. And certainly last week, we spent a lot of time on service, and so I'm not going to rehash that sermon. I would invite you to go back. You can listen to that sermon on our website or on our podcast. You can watch it through our app or through our website or through YouTube. But as we think about service, it's not just out in our community. Realize that we are called to serve our brothers and sisters in Christ as well. Look again at our verse from this morning, Galatians 6:10. It says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, we must work for the good of all, those in our community, those in our church, but especially for those who belong to the household of faith." You know, there's a special comment in here, a special command to serve those who are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are called to serve the church. Yes, to serve our community, but we are to be investing in our local church. Reach in means that we are meeting the needs of our brothers and sisters who we worship with week in and week out. Now, there's a danger to this command in serving the church, in caring for the needs of the church. The danger is that many of us have it in our head that it is the pastor's job or the leadership or the deacon's job to do the serving at the church. As a matter of fact, that's what we pay that pastor to do. He can go make the visits and he can go do the serving. That's why we elect deacons, because they're godly men who will let do all the work. But you know, if we're to be a healthy church, God has called not just the leadership of our church to serve, but he's called you to reach in and serve others as well. There is an important, important command that each of us needs to realize, and that is every single one of us is commanded to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. So when you hear of someone in need, your first phone call doesn't have to be, where's someone at the church going to meet that need? Your first thought can be, how can I meet that need? Now, possibly there's greater good, and so you can share it with the church and with the leadership of the church. And maybe there's a way we can invest and reach in through a church body. But we as individuals are called to serve one another. We're called to reach inwardly to our brothers and sisters in Christ and help out in times of need. Every single one of us should be using our gifts to serve others. From time to time, I have people come and give me ideas for new ministries at the church. Can I tell you, I'm excited to hear new ministries for our church. And there are some ministries that people come and say, we can do this, and we kind of lay the groundwork and we move forward and we plan a new ministry from First Baptist. Those are exciting times. But there are sometimes people come with me to ministries and they're good ideas. They really will serve people and serve our community and serve our church. But we just can't do every ministry. And it gives me an opportunity as a pastor to look and say, that is a wonderful ministry, and I think you should take that ministry on. Anytime we have a thought in our head, a mission in our head that we can serve others, our first thought ought to not be, how can the church do that, but how can I do that? How can I serve? How can I invest in others? And so this morning, as we think about reaching in, the first thing we need to think about is, how am I serving others? How am I plugging into my brothers and sisters in Christ? Your churches are unfortunately notorious not for serving one another, but for arguing with one another. We are notorious for nitpicking things that are not important. I wonder how much the life of First Baptist or any church would change if our focus was on our brothers and sisters in Christ and serving, on the unity we have with one another. Part of our mission at our church is to reach up in worship, to reach out in evangelism and service of our community, and it is important that we are reaching in and serving one another. But secondly, if we're going to reach in, we not only serve one another, we need to be growing in our faith. We need to be growing in our faith. Remember that our mission is cyclical. So if this is your first week here for this series and you're thinking, what's the rest of this mission all about? Our mission is threefold. We've said it several times this morning and we're going to make it very clear here. It's to reach up in worship, to reach out in service and evangelism, and to reach in, which we're discussing this morning, serving the church, growing in our faith. There is a clear entry point, but it is not a linear mission. In other words, it's not for us to worship God and reach up. Once we've mastered that, to move past that, to reach out. And then once we've mastered that, to reach in and start growing in our faith and serving our church. No, our mission is cyclical. It goes around. It starts with reaching up. Every single person's beginning point is worship of God. The moment of your salvation is the moment you begin worshiping. And so this morning we start in one place. And as we worship God, it leads us to think, everyone should be doing this. God is a great God, and I need to tell someone else. And so our reaching up causes us then to reach out. We want everyone to know how good God is to us. So we're going to serve others the way Christ has served us. We're going to share our faith because it is of utmost importance. So as we're reaching out and sharing our faith, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is, I don't know as much about God as I thought I did. People have questions I don't have answers for. As I'm serving in the world, I'm noticing that the world poses a lot of questions, and I need to know more about God. I need to grow in my faith, and that drives us to reach in. That drives us to get in our word and grow in our faith. And the more we know about God, the more we study the word of God, the more it causes us to realize how great God is and forces us to throw our hands up and reach up and worship. Our mission continues because we're growing in all three areas, and we are called to grow in our faith. There's an appropriate time for us to be young Christians and learning and soaking things in. As a matter of fact, 1 Peter chapter 2 kind of tells us of different types of Christians. He says, like newborn infants, desire pure spiritual milk so that you may grow by it for your salvation, since you have tasted that the Lord is good. Peter's writing and he says, just like that baby craves milk, you need to crave the Word of God. Crave knowing the Lord more. Every single day we should ask ourselves, do I know as much about God as I would like to? And I hope the answer, I'm sure the answer every day will be absolutely not. I want to know more about this God that I've learned a little about. And it drives us then to go to the source of where God is revealed, the Word of God. Peter says here, not just casually come to God, but crave it. Crave it like an infant craves milk. Crave it like a baby needs nourishment. Crave it like we have to have it, that we can't live without it. We should be constantly seeking after and begging to know more about God. As we reach in, it should drive us to the Word of God, the real and relevant Word of God, the absolute truth which applies to us. It causes us to know more and grow in our faith. If we're going to reach in, we must be investing in a healthy Bible study on a day-to-day basis. Now, what does this look like, growing in our faith? For many of us, we grow in our faith two times a week at most. One time is on Sunday morning, where we get spoon-fed from our Sunday school class and from the pulpit. And the other time, possibly, is Wednesday night, where we have a Bible study or a time to gather together and have a time in God's Word. And for the vast majority of what we would acknowledge as healthy Christians, that is the extent of our intake and the growing of our faith. I wonder, if you had a newborn baby, if you fed it twice a week, how healthy that child would be. Now, I wonder if we applied the same principles to our own lives. As a matter of fact, why don't we do this? Why don't we have an experiment this week? Why don't every day that we eat, we also read the Bible, and every day we read the Bible, or those are the only days that we eat? How about we decide that we only physically feed ourselves when we spiritually feed ourselves? You know, some of you in here, if you would read the Bible as much as you eat, you would be extremely healthy people. We're called to crave the Word of God, not once or twice a week. We're not called simply to dabble in it or snack on it here or there. No, we're called to indulge it. We're called to completely immerse ourselves in the knowledge of it. And no, we're not going to be expert. Peter says, you're still infants. You're still growing. You still need to know more. Don't expect that you'll know everything. But crave it and want it so that you will grow and be healthy. If we're to reach in, we must serve our church, but we must also be eating of the Word of God, taking it in and growing in our faith, knowing more about who He is. And then thirdly, if we're going to grow in our faith, not only have we served the church, not only are we growing, but we're also then supporting the church. Now let me distinguish supporting the church from just serving the church. Now, serving the church is the brothers and sisters in Christ meeting needs as they are. Supporting the church is your local congregation. And if we're going to reach in, you are called to invest in your local church. For those of you sitting in here this morning, for most of you, that is First Baptist Church. Those of you who are visiting and are guests, maybe you're plugged into a church somewhere else, you are called to invest and support in the church. And we do that in several ways. The first is by serving, which we've talked about briefly. But not just serving individuals, serving in a capacity in the church. In other words, you ought to be plugged into teaching. Or if teaching isn't your gift, you ought to be plugged into something behind the scenes, running the computer or the sound system. If that's not your gift, you ought to be plugged into hospitality, helping getting things together for meals that we have. If that's not your gift, you ought to be looking at ways you can be a greeter as people come in just to make them feel welcome in our church. If that's not your gift, start looking at how you can plug into our children's department and invest in our kids. And if that's not your gift, look for what is. There ought to be somewhere in our church that you're saying, I can serve. Secondly, it's not only serving our church, but also if we're going to support the church, we need to be giving to our church. Now, here is what everybody hates to hear, and that is we need to give more money to our church. I want to be very clear with you. We are 100% dependent on God to meet the needs of our church. And if you stop giving a dime, it's not going to hurt my feelings. I serve a God who will provide for our needs. And I'm not worried about who gives how much. But I am thankful that God has instituted in His Word a method and a plan to support His church by giving and tithing. And so we are called to then examine our own hearts and give according to what God has called us to give. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all of your produce. Give abundantly to God." If we're going to support our church, we must be giving from our material possessions as well. And then finally, not only are we called to support through service and support through giving, but we're called to support through encouragement. There is something to be said simply for sharing encouraging words with another person. And we are to look for opportunities to encourage those in our church and in their faith. There are times that we say words that are hurtful. We don't mean them to be hurtful, but they come across extremely hurtful. We need to be very careful with the words that we speak. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul writes quite a bit about words that we share in recognition for others. He says, "Now we ask you, brothers," in 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 and 13, "to give recognition to those who labor among you and lead you in the Lord and admonish you, and to regard them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves." In these two verses, Paul says, listen, those who are your leaders, your pastors and your deacons who you're paying to do all of this work, those who you are investing in, who are investing in you, be encouraging to those who are laboring among you, your Sunday school teacher, go up to them and tell them how thankful you are for leading. Those who are visible and those who are behind the scenes, those who are working in the church, you are to admonish and encourage. But it doesn't stop there. In verses 14 and 15, says, "We exhort you, brothers, warn those who are irresponsible, but also comfort the discouraged. Help the weak, be patient with everyone. See to it that no one repays evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good for one another and for all." It's not just leadership that needs your encouragement. That person sitting to the right and to the left of you needs you just to put your arm around them and say, I want you to know this week I'm committing to pray for you. They need you to see the hurt in their eyes and go, I know you're struggling, but I'm here for you. They need you to rejoice when they're excited in their lives. There's exciting times. They need you to say, I'm so thankful for you. And our brothers and sisters in Christ need to make sure we are encouraging everyone, comforting those who are discouraging, helping those to be patient who are impatient, not repaying evil for evil, but pursuing the good for all. We are to support our church and support the people in our church through how we're plugged in service, through giving of our tithes and offerings, and through encouraging words to one another. God has called us to support this local body. maybe this morning you've been coming to First Baptist Church for a long time and you've not joined officially in membership. I'm not a membership pusher in this sense. Nobody is grabbing you and going, you can't do X, Y, and Z unless you're a member of First Baptist Church. But I would tell you, biblically speaking, God calls us to invest in a local body and to commit to a local body, to support His church. So I encourage you to pray and ask, Lord, where are you calling me to support? Where are you calling me to serve? Where are you calling me to be a part of? Maybe God's not put on your heart to join yet, but maybe God has been working on your heart to get plugged in and to support His local church. Maybe you're new to this church and you say, I'm just kind of still feeling things out, trying to figure out where God wants me to be. I would encourage you to go back and look at our members class. That will give you a good idea of what we are and who we are as a church. You can find that on our website, and very shortly it will be in a training session on our Right Now Media Ministry. I would love to show you how you can view what our church is about so that you can decide for yourselves whether this is where God's calling you to serve or not. Or maybe you're already a member here and have been for a long time. How are we supporting faithfully the church? Have we slacked off in our duties and service? Have we decided our time has passed in that area of service? I've done my dues and now it's someone else's turn? Or are we still faithfully serving? Have we let God have control of our material possessions and said, God, I'll give to you because it all belongs to you and I'll support the church through my giving? Are we encouraging to one another? Are we tearing each other down? Are we sharing with each other alive so that we can weep when we weep and cry when others cry? Rejoice when they rejoice and celebrate in times of celebration. Are we as members supporting the church the way God has called us to? This is a cyclical mission, and so Reach In is the last one we discuss, but it's not the end of our mission. God has called us to reach up and worship. And as we study His Word and get around brothers and sisters in Christ and start serving and moving and doing, it drives us to know the great God who has offered salvation to us. This morning, you cannot possibly reach in. You cannot possibly last week reach out unless you have genuinely and truly surrendered your life in worship of God and reach up. And so before we can come to our time of invitation, I would like to share with you how essential it is that we go back to just 2 weeks ago when we talked about our worship of God. This morning, God wants us to worship Him fully. But He wants us to do that only through the worship of His Son, Jesus Christ. So this morning, as we gather together and are about to sing a final song, we need to ask ourselves, do I really and truly know who this God is I'm singing to? Have I ever surrendered my life to Him? Or do I just show up for church and go through the motions? Am I really, truly acknowledging that I need forgiveness for my sins and that the way I'm leading my life isn't working and I need God to lead my life? This morning, maybe you've been a church member for a long time, but you're realizing you've never truly worshiped. You've spent years and years and years coming to this church, and yet you've never once fully surrendered your life to Christ. Maybe for the first time you're realizing that God loves you enough that He would send His Son Jesus to die on a cross. And so you're acknowledging your need for salvation this morning. As we come to our time of invitation, before we even think about how we're to serve our church, can we think about how God has called us to worship Him? I want to encourage you, whether you feel like everyone thinks you're a Christian or not doesn't matter. Do you know today, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that Jesus Christ will save your sins if you'll ask forgiveness? Do you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that the way you've led your life is not the right way, that God has a better plan for you and you're willing to follow Jesus as Lord of your life? This morning, as we come to our time of invitation, I wonder if we'd examine our hearts and say, God, I need to worship You this morning and begin the mission You've called me to go. Let's pray. Father, we pray this morning acknowledging we need to serve our church. We need to give to our church. We need to be encouraging of one another. We need to be growing in our faith. We need to be reaching in. But Lord, as we examine our hearts on that, let us also examine our hearts when it brings us back to worshiping You. Lord, so many of us worship You simply because we show up for church and we think we're worshiping. We worship You because we give a little to the church here or there. Lord, I pray that we would all examine our hearts this morning and realize our need for forgiveness of sin, and our need for trusting you with our lives. Lord, whether we've made that decision 20 years ago or 20 seconds ago, doesn't matter. Help us to know at this moment and dedicate from this moment on that we will yield our lives to you. Lord, when we do, let it begin this journey to cause us to reach out in service and in evangelism. Help us to continue to grow in our faith and reach in to serve one another. And Lord, let it continue our journey to worship you even greater. Lord, I thank you for the mission you've given us. Help us to be sure of our salvation so that we can serve others and serve your church. It's in your name we pray. Amen.